WMKV 89.3 FM, with permission of WMUB-FM, Miami University Broadcasting, is proud to present the following hour-long historic documentary on one of the greatest legends of jazz, Bix Beiderbecke.
Just ask Satchmo about Bix. He'll say, "Tell the whole world there'll never be another Bix Beiderbecke." He was a born genius, but they crowded him too much with love. This is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and produced by Miami University Radio. When the Wolverines made their first recordings in Richmond, Indiana, the art of recording was in its infancy. Even the location of the Jeanette Studios next to the railroad tracks posed its problems for the artists. When a freight train clattered by, recording sessions had to stop, and the recording equipment was far from perfect. A recording machine in 1924 could pick up only a limited range of sound. And so, as far as the Wolverines were concerned, the deepest tones of Vic Moore's bass may have been non-existent. Much of the driving bass and rhythm section cannot be heard on record. Still, these early recordings preserve something of the importance of the group. The drive of the rhythm is taken up by Bix and by other members of the band. In essence, only half the group can be heard in the early records. May 6, 1924, found the Wolverines again in Richmond. Their trombonist, Al Gandy, had left the group to follow a more predictable future as a milkman in Cincinnati. Frank Powers comments on the changes from strict Dixieland style to ensemble work. And the recording, Oh Baby.
Now this is a pop tune, I believe, a Buddy DeSilva tune from the 1920s. It isn't a Dixieland song. This is unique. It's a popular song. It's not too unique in many ways, yet it does have a few interesting chord changes about it. It's something that would grab the imagination of an original and creative musician at that period. One of the unique things about this record is we see the removal from the band of the trombone. Now, I think this recording was made at the time that Bix was barnstorming around the Middle West. But the unique feature of this recording is without the trombone, we have a new kind of front line that has never been seen in jazz before, a new kind of flexibility, because trombonists in 1924 didn't have much flexibility, except for possibly Miff Mole. And for the most part, this band relies upon two reeds, tenor saxophone and clarinet, and trumpet. In addition to that, we see the use of the head arrangement, that is to say, an arrangement worked out in a session, probably, I say probably, through the influence of Bix, these little modulating two-bar phrases that occur two or three times through the record are his work, and where he directed each instrument, you have this note, and George, you've got that note, and so forth and so on. And this gives this thing its unusual color. Now, this record is a unique milestone in jazz because this is the beginning of what we call Chicago jazz. This is the beginning of what we might call orchestral development in white jazz. And Not least of which, though, in this record, we must refer to Bix's magnificent cornet solo. Bix has the first 32 bars after the introduction, and he plays a beautifully but simply conceived cornet solo that drives and sets the tone for the whole band. And the other choruses, particularly Jimmy Hartworth, aren't particularly unique. But between the solo, the ensemble work, and the turnaround modulations, head arrangement figures that are put in this record, we have the unique quality. We also have a general, more swinging sort of a sound.
So the personnel of the Wolverines for this session were Bix Beiderbecke on cornet, Jimmy Hartwell clarinet, George Johnson on tenor sax, Dick Voino piano, Bob Gillette banjo and guitar, Min Liebruck tuba, and Vic Moore on drums. This same recording session saw Hoagy Carmichael's Riverboat Shuffle preserved. Frank Powers tells of how the music was named.
Riverboat Shuffle is a tune that Hoagy Carmichael wrote in 1924 and presented to the Wolverines. He hadn't named the tune at the time, and Bix and the boys were trying to figure out what they should call it. Somebody suggested it be called Freewheeling because it had four brakes, and this is an automotive pun on the technical thing with cars in those days of freewheeling, whatever that means. And but somehow or other, after kicking around the possibility of title, they came up with Riverboat Shuffle. Bix had an association with riverboats back in Davenport that was very important to him, so that was the name of the song. It became a classic in jazz in later years, but this is the initial recording. Here again we see a very relaxed Wolverine band, quite markedly different than any orchestra was able to produce at that time, with a beautiful Beiderbecke solo where he dips down into the barrel house bag that we sort of associate with people like, well, Bill Davis and Pee Wee Russell, who were influenced by Bix. It has, again, breaks by the band and the marvelous ensemble figures between the saxophone, the clarinet, and the trumpet.
Hoagy Carmichael recalls his involvement with the Wolverines. Here he reminisces about the spring of 1924 and his tune, Riverboat Shuffle.
I know the Bix liked Riverboat Shuffle very much. See, I wrote that tune down in when I was in college at Bloomington, Indiana. And I hired them and put them in various fraternity houses on weekends to play dances. And they were very appreciative, too, because they weren't working any place at the time. And we had a ball that spring at Indiana University, and we had midnight serenades with the Wolverines on a truck, and we'd go around all the sorority houses. It was just a great spring. And I happened to write this tune, which the boys themselves named it, Riverboat Shuffle. They named it the day they recorded it over at the Jeanette Studios in Richmond, Indiana. I had just written it and showed it to the boys, and the boys sort of learned it by heart and went over to Richmond and recorded it, and they named it Riverboat Shuffle, which I thought was a great name. Well, I know Bix liked that tune, and he told me so.
Another man who played jazz in the 20s was Louis Terman. In a letter, he recalled his brief association with Beiderbecke and the Wolverines at a college prom.
I was never asked to sit in with the Wolverines, I suppose, because the violin wouldn't blend in with that style. But after the band left the Stockton Club and were playing college dances around Indiana, I got a wire from Dick Voino. He asked me to front the band at Ball State the next Saturday night. I can tell you, I walked on a cloud for a week. Things went well, but, as usual, we might just as well not have been there. The students crowded around the bandstand in front of Bix, and no one else seemed to matter.
The legendary lyricism, which has become the trademark of Bix Beiderbecke's style, is most noticeable on the record cut on June 20th. It seems that the other Wolverines merely accompany Bix's cornet in I Need Some Pettin'. Frank Powers discusses other aspects of this recording.
I Need Some Pettin'. This is another pop tune from the 1920s. The same personnel again. at a slightly slower tempo. Bix takes a very unhurried, relaxed, gentle, rather singing trumpet solo. And again, as Bix always, oftentimes he take early solos on several of these records, pretty much state the whole theme or feeling for the entire recording. And the spirit of this would infuse the entire performance, as said before. Actually, it could be said that the orchestra, with due respect to these early pioneers, probably would not be unique if it were not for the presence of Beiderbecke. His genius towers above the whole band far more notably than it did on any of his other recordings. In this particular instance, an almost singing quality pervades the entire thing.
Along with I Need Some Pettin', the Wolverines cut what must have been one of Bix's favorite tunes, the first he ever learned on the cornet. In this session, Bix used a clarinet technique in the Wolverines' interpretation of Tiger Rag.
Tiger Rag is a tune composed by the original Dixieland Jazz Band for their 1917 Victor recording session. Although the composition is in doubt and the choral exists, that this is an adaptation of a New Orleans mazurka and march tune, or a French quadrille. And this is the allegation is from Jelly Roll Morton, and it's quite possible that the Boyce and original Dixieland Jazz Band did lift the tune from that source, but of course they made it into a great jazz standard. In the hands of the Wolverines, however, unlike Fidgety Feet, they don't make it into a repetition or a what you might call a eulogy to the Dixieland style. Rather, from this recording with a Dixieland tune, it becomes almost a prediction of the direction of music, which was to be called Chicago style. It also suggests the swing era of the years to follow with the riff choruses. Bix's trumpet solo is quite unique in that it is an adaptation of Larry Shields's clarinet solo from the original Dixieland Jazz Band recording. This is unique and interesting in that we generally look for the influences of Bix among the trumpet players. Here we have a suggestion that in the clarinet playing of Larry Shields, who was quite probably the major talent in the original Dixieland Jazz Band, we have one of Bix's major influences.
Wolverine's records were fairly successful. At least they earned the orchestra an invitation to the Cinderella Ballroom in New York. The Wolverines played as a second band. In New York, the Wolverines again met George Brunus of the now-defunct New Orleans Rhythm Kings. They cut two records with Brunus on trombone, and they recorded two sides on their own. The first of these was a pop tune and somewhat of a new venture for the Wolverines. Frank Powers examines the qualities of Tijuana, recorded on October 7th, 1924.
Tijuana is a pop jazz number, you might say, from the 1920s. It was written in 1924 by two commercial musicians, Larry Connolly and Gene Rodemack, and was published by Melrose Brothers Publishing Company. Now, Melrose Brothers ties into quite a bit of the activity at the Jeanette Studios, where this was made. Of course, this particular thing, Tijuana, was recorded in the New York studios after the band had gone on from their Middle West origins into the big city. In this particular instance, the Melrose brothers probably requested they record it, and it was a matter of their promoting of the song that causes this particular tune to come up on the recording. However, it's very well suited to the Wolverines, and it's very typical their output of that period, notable for another great trumpet chorus by Beiderbecke.
This is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Consultants for the series were John Steiner, along with Joseph Campbell and Philip Evans. Commentary was recorded by Frank Powers. Continuity was written by Mary K. Fulton. Audio engineer, Michael J. McGuire. Bix was researched, produced, and directed by Jim Grover. This is Bill Utter speaking for Miami University Radio.
WMKV 89.3 FM, your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for all your favorite music from the 1920s through the 1940s, is proud to present another half-hour program from the historic documentary on one of the greatest legends of jazz, Bix Beiderbecke.